One of the most controversial aspects of President Bush's anti-terrorism program is his order authorizing military tribunals for some foreigners suspected of terrorism. Such tribunals could be conducted in secret with a lower standard of proof and no right of appeal. Earlier this month, Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz told senators about the president's position on military tribunals.
I would underscore that he has not yet designated anyone to be tried in this manner, and that it would only apply to non-U.S. citizens. But should he decide to designate a non-U.S. citizen to be tried by a military commission, it will be handled in a measured, balanced, thoughtful way that reflects our country's values.
The first non-citizen charged in connection with the September 11th attacks, Zacharias Massawi, will be tried in civilian federal court in Virginia. Critics of military tribunals say civilian courts are the most appropriate venues for other terror suspects. Morning Edition offers two views on the subject. The first from Douglas Kamek, a constitutional lawyer who supports the president's decision.
Zacharias Massawi has been indicted in a regular civilian criminal court. So what happened to President Bush's military tribunals? They are in waiting. From the beginning, the president said they were an additional option reserved for terrorist leadership. Once again, President Bush's prudent military judgment has been vindicated. You'll remember, however, that Senate critics and a group of activists and some academics attacked his military order as sweeping and unjustified, threatening the Bill of Rights. They both overstated their case and misstated the law. Presumably, these critics would have federal judges and 535 members of Congress second-guess the president's military judgment. But this isn't constitutional law, and it certainly is not constitutional history. Alexander Hamilton put it best. In the Federalist Paper No. 70, he reminded us that an energetic president is essential to the protection of the community against foreign attack. Under the Constitution, the president, not the Judiciary Committee, is commander-in-chief, and when and where to employ troops and military tribunals are tactical military decisions. To quote Hamilton again, in times of crisis, the president must be permitted to act with decision, activity, secrecy, and dispatch. Why then are we trying Massawi in a regular civilian court? There is no gainsaying that his trial on American soil will be a major security headache. Yet because his indictment presents few other hazards, a military trial is unwarranted. The conspiracy charges he faces can be proven in a civilian court because the evidence is conventional and readily at hand. There's no need to disclose intelligence methods or the identities of sources. Mr. Massawi can be convicted simply by showing he engaged in the planning for criminal conduct, plain and simple. The 30-page indictment against him shows plenty of such planning. He trained with Al-Qaeda, enrolled in flight schools, and purchased knives and global positioning devices. All these actions run in a path parallel to that of the 19 hijackers. As one experienced federal prosecutor put it, it's a dunk. Reason enough, one would hope, for Mr. Massawi to have second thoughts about not helping the FBI locate terrorist cells outside of Afghanistan. So what of the president's military tribunals? They have Mr. Bin Laden's name on them and that of other top Al-Qaeda members. Bin Laden's videotape performance may or may not be proof beyond a reasonable doubt in a civilian trial, but it surely would surpass a military tribunal's more probable than not standard of evidence. Military tribunals are military measures. Their purpose is not merely to do justice, but to end the terrorist threat. The president's military order provides for a full and fair trial before disciplined military commanders. Terrorists who seek America's destruction and threaten democratic governance around the world deserve no better.
The comments of Douglas Kamek, Dean of the Catholic University of America School of Law. Here is an opposing view from William Schell, who runs the World Civilization Program at Murray State University in Kentucky.
There's little question that President Bush had the legal authority to issue his controversial order. A joint resolution of Congress to invoke the War Powers Act gave him that. The question is whether the policy is wise. The answer is no. This is not an easy case to make. It's a popular policy. Two-thirds of Americans support military trials for the accused terrorist and the death penalty for those found guilty, but it's not an effective policy. The use of military tribunals will impede the ability of the U.S. to deal with the threat. So will the suspension of due process and habeas corpus. The administration argues that secret proceedings are necessary to protect intelligence sources, but CIA-connected Manuel Noriega, World Trade Center bomber Ramzi Youssef, and Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh were prosecuted under the Classified Information Procedures Act. Convictions were obtained in all three cases, while the rights of the accused, the identity of the jurors, and national security were protected. The administration insists on maintaining the option of capital punishment. This has caused Britain, Spain, and other signatories to the European Convention on Human Rights to refuse to extradite Al-Qaeda suspects to the U.S. because the convention bans the death penalty. To win the war on terrorism, we must win the struggle for hearts and minds. The U.S. cannot afford to be seen as hypocritical. Trials conducted in secret, without the right of appeal, or proof of guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, will taint whatever judgment is rendered, no matter how scrupulous the process. The U.S. State Department has criticized China for conducting secret trials of its dissidents. It protested when a Peruvian terrorism court convicted American Lori Berenson of collaboration with Tupac Amaru revolutionaries. If we try Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda members in secret, then we cannot object to like treatment of U.S. citizens. It's not enough for the U.S. to be against terrorism. We must be for something, for justice and human rights for everyone on this planet. If we're not, then we will not have the moral authority necessary to prevail in this new type of conflict. It's not enough to bomb and apprehend. We must universalize principles of due process that secure our constitutional rights and freedoms. If we do not, then we've lost the war, no matter what becomes of Osama bin Laden.
The comments of William Schell of the World Civilization Program at Murray State University in Kentucky.